In the program, it's just me, but you get two for one. John is joining me today. John is our colleague looking after North America for Babanjo. So we're going to swap in and out through the presentation. If you're ready, I'll make a start. Looking at the title, we're looking at planning and scheduling for seamless international delivery of your video. And what we're aiming to do with this presentation is really taking on our experiences, our own personal experiences in this industry, John's personal experiences in this industry, Babanjo's experiences over the last 10, 11 or 12 years now, looking at our customers, looking at what they've experienced, the challenges and the way we've helped solve those challenges, and I'm sure a lot of those will resonate with you. So that's really the aim of this presentation.
Can I just shout out before we move on? If you have any questions, feel free to shout them out now, or we have time at the end. So whatever works for anyone.
Yeah,
we can adapt.
You can keep it interactive if you like. So let's make a start by, first of all, looking at what do we actually mean by planning and scheduling. You know, lots of people have different definitions for this, and this is what really Babanjo has learned these two terms to mean. So we look at planning as the stage, the first stage. It's the stage before scheduling. It's really the big picture. It's more strategic. It's managed by editorial teams, sales teams, strategy teams, and management teams. And these teams plan their content months or even years in advance. And they need a way to plan what content is going on their service in that time frame. So they're making decisions with their rights, looking at their budgets, using audience research data. They're sharing drafts and plans both internally and externally with their partners and affiliates. And really making those big strategic decisions. They use a planning solution. At the moment, you know, a lot of those are actually very basic. You won't believe what some of these we've seen, and John will go into them in a bit. But they're using a planning solution for linear, non-linear, or both to provide feedback and determine what goes on their service and when. And the whole idea of it is to bring the most viewers to their service and the most revenue to their service as well. Whereas we see scheduling as a stage after planning, seems quite logical. Scheduling is immediate. It's sort of days, weeks, or maybe a couple of months in advance. It's focusing on distributing your content on the right platform. It's more operational. So it's making sure you follow your rights commitments. It's making sure that you don't publish on a platform where you don't have the rights, because that could be very costly to you, cause an awful lot of issues. It's making sure you've got the right metadata when you publish to your platforms. And the images and also the media as well go into that. And it's really about operational teams fixing issues and validating their operations. You can see in the middle, both are about which title goes where on this on your service and when, but they both have very different roles within the organization.
Thanks. I use the clicker, so I hope this works. So kind of trying to set out a little bit more about what the actual problem is. So talking about issues that we've seen with our customers, that we've seen with prospects, and just other people in the industry have been talking about. A lot of the problems we see are exponential headaches. So what do I mean by that? We're looking at some example metrics here. These are from a global broadcaster that we know well. And we just take some sample numbers, these are real numbers, and look at how quickly the problem becomes incredibly complex and difficult to manage. So in this case, this broadcaster manages about a catalogue of roughly 500,000 titles. A lot of that is obviously archived, very old content from years or decades ago. Some of it is new content as well. And that means that you have to think about how you can distribute all of that content, because you probably care about distributing your content, which is immediate, any new content that you're making. But as we've seen with Disney Plus and with other services launching, there's also an emphasis on bringing that archive content back and making that available to people as well. Then we start looking at additional things. So when we're talking about rights, we talk about what we call business models. These are different ways to distribute your content. These might be to AVOD services, SVOD, TVOD, EST, all of those acronyms that you're probably very familiar with. And immediately we're multiplying those titles by those different business models. We're already getting a large number of different options that we have for distributing this content. And you can see where I'm going here. This broadcaster distributes, or has the rights to distribute, to 229 different territories. That's how many rights they store with us right now. So immediately, we're over 572 million different rights positions that we have to track, manage, make sure that we can surface to those users. And each of those territories has a number of different services that they manage. If you distribute in the US, you probably distribute to Amazon Video, you distribute to Google, you distribute to Apple, maybe you send stuff to Netflix, a whole bunch of different services. Obviously, some territories have many fewer platforms, some have a very large scope. So we're looking at an average of maybe 3 platforms overall across those territories. And you can see immediately we're over 1.7 billion different rights positions that we need to think about. Finally, we need to think about versions. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday. So if any of you were at the IDA conference or the MESA conference yesterday, there was a bit of conversation about IDA versions and how your same piece of content will exist in many different forms. You might have different cuts for distribution to the Middle East versus the US. You might have different cuts which have different characters in, or different editorial things that you're choosing to put in for marketing or sales purposes as well. And when you sum all of these things up together, you end up with a very, very large number of different rights positions. In this case, 30.9 billion. That's the sample case for this broadcaster, but obviously it would vary for different customers. And it's very easy to go from distribution to a single service. If you just start managing one service in the US, you don't have to worry about any of these things. Your complexity is very small at the beginning. But once you start thinking about distribution, maybe worldwide, maybe still in the US, but to different services for different business models, finding different ways to sell and distribute your content, then very quickly you run into problems. And this is compounded by issues we've seen in the market over the past 10 years. So this is probably an area which has been neglected for some of the kind of flashy cloud-based or wonderful systems that people have put together. So a lot of the video on demand apps you see these days, they look fantastic on tablet, on mobile devices, on TVs. The back-end software is often a little bit aging compared to that. So a lot of these are propped up by old in-house solutions. These are hard to evolve, they're hard to support, because they may be based on some legacy workflows which are not really relevant to your distribution 10 years on from when they were originally built. You might have trouble managing inventory. Maybe you have your content in different places, particularly if you have a worldwide distribution. Still hear me? Cool. If you have a worldwide distribution, you might have your content stored in Japan for your Japanese market, in the US for your US market. The same content might be stored and managed differently in the UK for your European market. And because they're all stored differently, you're not making cost savings by being able to aggregate that content and distribute it once. There's also, following on from that point, a lack of a unified solution across teams. And we see this a lot with international customers. They may have a unified IT strategy which allows them to mandate the same piece of software across all the departments worldwide. From experience, that's generally not the case. And often, you find that different teams have different software that their particular teams have acquired or started to use. They might often be very attached to their particular piece of software, so you also get a particular thing as well where people don't want to shift from that. And the other key thing is that solutions do not scale. So as I mentioned before, you might have a system that was built 10 years ago. It's probably not cloud-based. It's probably a legacy system that's hosted on a server somewhere. Being able to adapt to that, transform it, and make it available for new development, being able to quickly and agilely jump on to distribution to a new platform, that's very difficult with kind of historic things. And we've seen a lot of attempts to solve these kind of problems. A very large number of people tried to solve these with Excel. And that, honestly, it works pretty well if you're just distributing to a couple of places. So here's a couple of examples. These are real things, but anonymized content. And if you've ever done any distribution of content, in any way within the planning and scheduling field, these are probably very familiar to you. So these very colorful Excel grids, these get saved and different versions get created on a shared folder and emailed to people and emailed back with changes. Again, this can work if you have one or two different systems, if you have one team or two teams that are managing things. When you start trying to distribute these things worldwide,